morning. Ah. How is everyone? There's about seven of you there. How's everyone? Good? Come on. Oh, dear. You know what? What would be your first guess? We're going to be reading a lot of scripture today. So did you bring your Bible? Did you bring your phone? Did you bring your iPad? So get them out. We're going to be flipping through quite a bit today, as that's the way God led me, was just to read scripture and read scripture and read scripture to bring the point about that God wants to bring about today. So let's just consecrate our time in prayer once again. Let's join our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you so dearly. You're so awesome. God, there's none like you. There is none, no, not one like you. Full of compassion, full of mercy, long-suffering, faithful, true to your judgment, to where your judgment is still required. And that's why you came in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy your law, your requirement that your judgment would be satisfied. That which was required happened because you chose to make it happen. And you put yourself in that place to let it happen in our behalf. You're so faithful. You're so good. There's not a God like you. And we come today to just glory in your presence. And we pray that your words would be life today to our hearts. Your words would be life today to our spirits. And your words would be life today to our souls and all that we are, Lord God. That we would live lives that are consecrated. We would live lives that honor and glorify you in the decisions that we make, in the thoughts that we have, in the way we treat one another. So today, Lord God, have your way. Have your way with your words within my heart. Have your way, Lord, in each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, last month, we had to go to the other side. It was really strange because there was no heat in here. So we went to the other side. Tom called the heating contractor. They came Monday and they turned everything on to see where it was not working, and it worked. I'm not sure what happened, but whatever God wanted, I guess he had that intimate moment for us in a smaller gathering. And it was a real good time to get together. And we talked about the building of the walls that we build in our lives. And those walls that we build stone by stone based upon decision by decision. Decisions to unforgive. Decisions to remain resentful towards someone. Decisions of broken promises when people have betrayed us and let us down. Broken promises or being disappointed because we had an expectation, say in God or a loved one, that didn't meet what happened, what they did, it didn't meet our expectation, and we were disappointed. And we take these disappointments and these hurts, how people betray us and how we choose to not forgive, and we build these walls around ourselves with these thoughts of that are not of God, they're of self. And I know through my life, I built these walls to protect myself because I had been hurt often enough to where I didn't want to be hurt anymore. But then I found myself alone in these walls and lonely and not having anyone to share with, but not really wanting to have anyone to share with because I couldn't trust anyone. I gave us some points on, you know, these walls imprison us and they hold us captive. And at the end, I said, it's time to tear these walls down. And I kind of left it there. We prayed a little bit. We talked about renewing our minds and how our minds have to be renewed. We all need a new paradigm that needs to align with Scripture. Amen. We can't be thinking, as some people call it, stinking thinking, where we're thinking the ways of the world. where we're taking on the concepts of the world. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform yourself to the world's patterns anymore, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. So we need to renew our minds and our thoughts based on God's word. And we also need to renew our prayer life, where we've been given the authority to really speak into existence that which God has already promised if we speak in accordance with his word. We don't have these cap guns of power that we go around just asking God for whatever we want because we have the authority. You know, scripture says, well, if I ask God for whatever I want, I'll get it. Well, no, you have to ask in accordance with his will. And the power that we have is not our power. The power that God has given us is under his authority. Today I want to give us a tip, one more point, on how do we break these walls down? How do we cast these stones down? In my life, for example, I had a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of broken promises, a lot of resentment. And I was a bitter, angry, lonely person. And I shared last month, particularly towards my father, but there were a lot of people in my life that did it, but it only took, the only thing that worked to free me from that was surrendering to Christ and allowing Christ to heal me, allowing Christ to give me the ability to forgive, allowing Christ to give me the ability to once again love and to be vulnerable. Because once we open ourselves up to someone to love them and be open to them, we once again make ourselves vulnerable. You know, if we're always like this, you know, the stance like this is a protective stance. You know, somebody standing like this has something usually to hide or they're protecting something. Whoops. Because it's a defensive position, you know. And that's why Scripture says when we're in worship, it's a good thing to raise your hands in worship. Because what is this a posture of? Surrender. You know, the police come and they stick them up kind of thing. You know, put your hands up. It's surrender. You know, and when you surrender, everything's vulnerable. Everything is vulnerable. And when we get to that place of vulnerability and we allow ourselves to trust in a God who we know is not going to hurt us, who we know is not going to let us down, who we know is not going to stab us in the back, who we know is not going to lie or betray us, we can trust his word for what his word says, right? We then, you know, kind of take this little walk, we take a baby step, and like God comes through, and it's like, wow, I can like trust this God. So we open up a little more, and it's a walk that we all take step by step, as Scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, until we come into the fullness of the light of his glory. The key that I want to speak on today in breaking these walls down and tearing these walls down is basic to every believer. It's basic to you, to me. It's the foundation of why we're even here in this building today, and some are not. And that is acknowledging that Jesus is the only way to fullness of life. Abundant life here and now, and eternal life. Christ came to give us eternal life, and we have the hope of eternal life, and we look towards eternal life, but that's like down the road. That's like then. What about now? What about making my burden easy now? What about giving me peaceful sleep now? What about these constant arguments I have with this certain loved one, or my fits of rage and anger that break out of me that I don't even know where it comes from? Well, I know where it comes from, but I don't want it to come from me. Where in a moment, you just flip. Anybody ever do that? Do you still do it? Hopefully not as much as you used to. I mean, I used to just flip at a switch. Even while I was married, Jen is like, what is wrong with you? Why did you react in that way? And even recently, you know, there was an incident where, you know, she had to stop me. She goes, "Where did that come from?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't want it to be me." Came from self, obviously. But I mean, I have a broken knuckle because I punched a wall because I flipped out once, and unfortunately, it was right where a stud was, and not in between the studs. So my fist didn't go through the wall; like the stud went through my fist. And fortunately, it still works to where I can play guitar with it. You know, God is gracious, and He's merciful, slow to anger. You know, showing compassion on generations. Amen. One of the ways to break these walls down, I think the first initial step that we need to take to start having these walls come down, to start allowing these stones to remove them one by one, is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the only way that this can happen. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. We just can't. No matter how hard we try, we will not succeed. No matter how much you want to forgive that person that betrayed you, the old you, the you that is selfish, still wants to not forgive and still wants to bask in anger and thoughts of revenge and hatred, because that's our selfish nature. That's the old man. It's who we were before Christ. Now that we are in Christ, we are what? A new creation. The old has passed. God is calling us to live differently than the world, not to hate, not to be in anger, but to forgive and to love and to show compassion and to show mercy. Who does that sound like? To love and forgive and compassion and mercy sounds an awful lot like our mentor, the Lord Jesus. It sounds an awful lot like God Himself. And how are we created? In His image. And what is Jesus doing in us right now? What is He working in us right now? His glory, that we might what, be conformed to His image, that we might reflect the glory and the goodness of Jesus Himself, of God Himself. And He's working within us His characteristics that we can show the world what God is like. It cannot be done apart from Jesus. You can try and try and try, but you're still going to find these characteristics of hatred, anger, revenge, loneliness, bitterness. What else did I have listed here? I'm going to set this up here. You're going to live in hopelessness. You're going to live in loneliness and bitterness, in rebellion, all because of, you know, these things that we don't have a proper way to balance a sound judgment against these things that come at us, because we're selfish. And we want what we want, and we desire what we want, and we don't want anybody to step on our toes and make our lives miserable. And if they do, well, then you're going to get my wrath. I don't appreciate you. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So first, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way into fullness of life. He's the only way to be free from past hurts. He's the only way to be free from people that continue to hurt you today, to walk in freedom and to walk in peace. Scripture says that He gives His servants peaceful sleep. And I claim that just about every night when I go to bed. Lord, You claim You give Your servants peace and sleep. That's me. Let me sleep tonight. Sometimes we don't sleep at night because we're filled with I know before I came to the Lord, I was filled with a lot of thoughts of revenge and hatred and ways to get back at people. You know, if I see them next, this is what I'm going to do. But you know me, I'm a passive person. So all these thoughts that I think in my mind, there's just a game that I'm playing, because when I get into their presence, I'm like, "Oh, how are you doing? Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, yeah, have a good day. You know, how you been? Good, good. I've been good too. Jerk. Do you know how much you hurt me? Do you know how much you hurt me? And here I am being nice to you." That jerk, by the way, was to me, because I'm such a fool, thinking, you know, that I can handle these things, which I can't. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way who can bring life to our lives now and give us eternal life, the hope of eternal life. He does it by two means. What He's done Himself for us, and he does it by using the church. What he's done for us is he's brought us into salvation, into deliverance from our sin. He's brought us to the Father as sons and daughters. He's brought to us abundant life now and eternal life. We're going to look at these four things. Turn to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to open this up and we're going to start reading. Acts. I do the swipe thing. Tom says open, turn on, swipe. I do the swipey thing. Acts chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And now there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone. You cannot get to God, the Father, the creator of the universe, any other way. It is through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone. 1 Timothy 2:5. And I hope you can keep up with me. And if you have your phones, it's pretty easy, or your iPads, it's pretty easy to get there. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. One mediator between God and man. There is no other name by which man must be saved. He's brought us salvation by the work of what he's done. He's given us this life that we can now be free from our sin. He's given us deliverance and freedom from our sin. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I actually quoted this already. Oops. All right. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing others into the same reconciling that we've been brought to. We've been given a new life. The old man has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's no need to walk in accordance with the old ways. There's no reason to choose to be like the old you. I don't have to choose any longer to be angry and to allow fits of rage to overwhelm me to where I can't control my actions. If I'm having a battle in my mind where I want to, you know, spit something out of my mouth, I have to tame that. I am a new man. I am a new creation in Christ. God has given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. The power that he's given me the ability to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to godliness. He fills me with his grace and with his power. And when I fail, I acknowledge my failure and I go to him and I confess it and ask him for grace to learn to not do it, to find the strength to learn to not fall to the same things over and over again. So Galatians 2:20. I don't know why I put 2:10 down here. It's one of my favorite verses. My finger must have hit. Hit the one instead of the two. Galatians 2:20. It's probably one of the first scriptures that I memorized. I mean, I could speak it, but I would rather just say it. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I that no longer live, or it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. And this faith that I have and that I live in him is because I choose to be crucified with Christ. I choose to let the old man die. I've said this before. If you go to a funeral and the casket is there, and say it was, in my case, my dad, right? You're standing there and you're like calling him all kinds of names. You know, he left you when you were 4, and now you finally come into his life, and like months later, he left you again, and this time for good. So it's like, you know, he doesn't hear a word. He doesn't respond one bit. He doesn't speak back to me and get angry, right? He's dead. He's not there anymore. Your old man is dead. He's not there anymore. Dead men don't get offended. Are you dead? Are you crucified with Christ? Do you still get offended? Dead men don't get offended. If you find yourself getting offended, it's because you're not allowing your old man to die, you're allowing him to rise up. Right? It's Romans 6. This is really good here. This is really good. This drives it home. Starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, wait a second, Pastor Dave. You're talking about us having life. And now here we're baptized into his death? Yes, we're baptized into his death. The flesh, the old man, is baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The old man dies, newness of life comes. For if we have been united with him in his death, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He's brought us salvation. He's delivered us from our sin. This is chapter 6. Go on to chapter 7. And Paul is talking about this wrestling that's going on inside of him. You know, the very sin that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the very thing that I want to do, live a sinless life, live in ways to honor and glorify God, that I don't find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from what? This body of death. This body has not died yet. The sin that was resident in this body when I was conceived is still there. My spirit has been set free. My spirit is a spirit where the Holy Spirit has communion, and that spirit is a new life. The old is passed away. The old man is dead. The spirit comes in, and spirit to spirit has communion. Our spirits are made whole, but we still have this fight between spirit and flesh. Flesh wants what flesh wants. The Holy Spirit wants what the Holy Spirit wants. And standing between the two is your flesh, your body, your desires to want to do what you want to do. And you have to fight that to do what God wants you to do. You have to tame the old man. What did Paul say? He was in Corinthians. I buffet my body, right? Like someone who's running in a race. You know, it's like, I think that's where the monks get the people that are so committed to God that, you know, they beat themselves. Because that's what Scripture said. Paul beat himself. You know, and they're like, they live in these monasteries and they purposely hurt themselves in order to tame the flesh. The purpose of it is to tame the flesh. And that's what we're called to do. There's not enough of that, and there's not enough of that preaching in the church today to where we're told we have to die to the flesh and live to God. We have to tell ourselves no an awful lot and tell God yes. We have to surrender, and we have to keep our mouth shut, and we have to keep our hands to ourselves and allow God to change us from the inside out, not trying to be changed from the outside in. Jesus is the only way to the Father. John 10, the book of John, chapter 10. starting in 7. So Jesus said again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, and he will find pasture." This is talking about in and out of God's presence, in and out, not in and out of God's presence, but in and out of that sheep pen. He's the door. We go in through him. And I don't know about you. Sometimes I choose to go out of it on my own, but I'm always drawn back and coming back in. We don't walk out of salvation, but we walk out of the blessing and the provision of what's provided for us in the sheep pen. In the sheep pen is the boundaries where God's blessing is. If a sheep leaves, well, he's still a sheep, but he's in danger of being killed. If we leave, we're still a sheep, but we're in danger of hurting ourselves or hurting others. We're still a sheep that belongs to the Father, but we got to come back in through Jesus, back into intimacy with the Lord. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. John 14. Are we in 14 yet, or are we coming up to that? We're coming up. Coming up. Coming up. Cool. I'll let Tom talk on that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Turn to, we're in John right now. Go back to chapter 1. Verse 12. But to all who did receive him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in his name, who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what? He gave the right to become children of God. I mentioned last month that this whole concept of Abba, Daddy, is something that is new to me. It's been there and I thought about it, but I've never let myself consider God my dad because of past experiences and like, it's to me, it just feels disrespectful. Me and God were having this conversation Friday. You know, he was speaking to me about this, you know, about him being my dad, my daddy, my provider. You know, and when I said, like last week, when I was a little boy, my dad was so big. And I knew I could run to him and he would protect me. He was so big. And you know, just he was a he-man. He was like my God. And but then life taught me otherwise, that he's someone who needs Jesus as much as anyone else. So my relationship with dad is nothing but rejection, you know, and disappointment. So for me to call God dad, it seems disrespectful. I still haven't, I'm close to crossing that threshold of that specific intimacy with God, but I'm still not able to quite acknowledge him that way, and it's an inner struggle that I have. It's something that I have to work through. Some of you might say, oh, I don't have a problem just calling on my dad, you know. Your experience with your father might have been a good one, and you can see how God is just as good. So to call God your dad, you can relate. But we are his children, and he's given that to us. Amen? He's given us salvation. He's given us deliverance from sin. He's given us the ability to say no to sin because we're to die to it. We're dead to it, and we should live in that. And he's called us his sons and his daughters. Just having a memory of running up to my dad and just wanting to sit on his lap. He's given us abundant life now and eternal life. Jesus in John 10:10. We're in John. Let's go back to 10 and go back to 10:10. Actually, it's right here. It's right there. You can read it if you can read glass. It's hard to see. La, la. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the abundance that God is talking about is not stuff. The abundance that God is talking about is an abundance of peace, an abundance of love, an abundance of grace and strength in him. You know, the abundance of allowing his fruit to be seen on our branches, on how we treat people, how we speak to people, the attitude that we carry with us. If we're willing to share, if we're willing to give, if we're willing to do good, all of those things, that's what he's talking in the abundance of. Not the abundance of wealth and cars and houses and trips and shoes. That abundant life that he's given us is an abundance of peace and joy in our heart that is just can't be explained. Here's something. 2 Peter. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is really good. 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. He's given us all things that pertain to life and that pertain to godliness. The only reason that we have to live a life of ungodliness is because we choose to. That's right. He's given us the ability to choose. We can choose ourselves or we can choose God. That's what it boils down to. It really boils down to us and the decisions that we make. He's given us everything that we need. Philippians 4:13, what does that say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:37, what? For I am more than a conqueror in my own strength, in what I know I can do. No, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He's given us all that we need. I'm not saying I got this down, and maybe one day you guys will catch up to me. By no means, no. Dr. Leon said, you know, I just want to be on fire for Christ. Come and watch me burn. I'm more like I fail and trip a lot and make mistakes, and then I repent and get right with God. Come and watch how I do it so that maybe you can see how it's done, and then maybe we can all learn to do this walk together. And then when somebody else fails, we're gathered around with everybody together, and we pick that person up rather than kick them while they're down. The church is the only army that shoots its wounded. It is. Somebody gets wounded. Somebody falls into sin. You take a pastor who falls into sin. Who's the first one to judge him? The church. You know? The world judges. The world. We expect the world to judge, but we expect the church to forgive. We expect to be like Jesus, to pick our brother up and to surround them and to dust them off and to protect them and to nurture them back to health. There go I before the grace of God. If you see your brother sinning, you know, go to him and in gentleness restore him. Because that can happen to you too. We have to do that. That's in Galatians, I believe. He's given us eternal life. Jesus said, and I'm running out of time, so we're done with the scriptures. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. This is in John chapter 11 where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he was telling him, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says that eternal life is found only in the Son of God. Point being, Jesus did all of this for us. He brought us into salvation. He delivered us from sin. He made us sons and daughters. He's given us abundant life on this earth and the strength and the ability and all that we need in order to live a life pertaining to godliness in him. And eternal life, life after now. But that's what he's done for us. But he's also given us the church. And this is pretty cool. What did I write down here? This is kind of funny. It's back here. Oh, yes. I scribbled this because I didn't want to reprint. I printed enough, I'm running out of ink. He's given us the church, which is the brotherhood of practice. What is God's goal? What is God's ultimate goal? To be more like Jesus. And how was Jesus perfected? Through suffering. Hence the church. We put each other through suffering, don't we? You know, we challenge one another. You want to go and do what you want to do, and then your good brother or your pastor comes along and says, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and you're like, just leave me alone. You know, I'm not going to church because I don't want to hear somebody tell me what I need to do. I know what I want to do, and if I go to church, they'll tell me not to do what I know I need to do because I want to do what I want to do. So I'm just not going to go to church and put myself in the position of having to say no to somebody who wants me to do it God's way when I know I don't want to do it God's way. So when I go to do it God's way, I didn't have somebody tell me not to do it. So I kind of got an out. And when I come back, then I can repent. We all kind of think that way, don't we? Am I the only one that thinks like that? The resurrection of Lazarus. Let's go to John 11, and let's just look at that. And John. This is important. Because Jesus has done a lot himself, right, to bring life to us. But he's also using the church to work this life and to work this stuff out of us. He's using the brothers to do this, the saints to do this. And it's important that we allow ourselves to submit to that. It's important that we become part of the church. And when the church makes you mad, you don't leave. When the pastor makes you do something or says something to you that you disagree with, you don't tuck your tail between your legs. Well, I'm not going there anymore. He hurt my feelings. You know, and won't go there. John, chapter 11. And we're going to go towards the end. Jesus, in 17 through 27, I am the resurrection of the life and the life. And we see Jesus weeping. Between 28 and 37, and towards the end, Jesus, starting in 38, Jesus is deeply moved. He said, take away the stone. And Martha and her sister said, he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you if that you'd believe, you would see the glory of God? But Jesus said to the people, take away the stone. Those that were there, Jesus could have just spoke to the stone if he wanted, right? Yeah. Jesus just could have like blinked and the stone would have exploded and opened the way up. But Jesus used the people that were there to move away the stone. The stones that we build in our lives that imprison us in unforgiveness and resentment and hatred and anger and disappointment and loneliness all become like this stone that covered the tomb that Lazarus was in. Jesus didn't miraculously just move it out of the way. He had people move it out of the way. We need one another to help us to move those stones out of the way. We need church leadership. We need our brothers and our sisters. We need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to forgive, right? We need to learn how to love. We don't know how to love. God shows us how to love, and how do we learn how to love? Well, we come to church and we hear his word, and it transforms our mind, and we're like, well, I don't want to love like that. My gosh, I want to remain resentful. What do you mean I have to forgive them? No. God trains us in righteousness. God says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And you're like, well, I kind of like dropping the F-bomb in the middle of my sentences 30 times a minute. You know, I kind of like cursing. No, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And so you don't curse anymore. This was me, and I stopped cursing, but I still did not encourage. I still didn't speak life. I might not have cursed, but I told people they were stupid, you know. It's not a curse word, but that's not speaking life. You know, that's not encouraging. God is training us. to encourage. God is training us not to curse, but to speak life, to speak blessings, to love, to forgive, to learn that we belong to one another and we need to encourage one another, that we're not alone in this. And we need to protect one another, watch over one another, and pick one another up when someone falls and dust them off, like I said, and nurse them back so that they can be strong and continue to do this walk, which is a hard walk. This is a hard walk. Christianity is not for wimps. Who said that? Dr. Leon says that, and I think Pastor Chris Baller, was it Joe Jansen? Who said it? Christianity isn't for wimps. It's not for weak-kneed people, because inside, we have to find the strength to tell ourselves no to selfishness, to tell ourselves no to the things that the rest of the world has freedom to do. You know, at work, they're constantly, Fridays is like Party Friday, you know, and there's a 6-pack or 12-pack of beer, and they're drinking, and I'm like, we just got 4 hours, you know, 5 hours of work. And they're like, come on, Dave, let's party, it's Friday. It's like, no. But there's part of me that's like, yeah. And now all this legalization of pot, I wasn't so much a drinker back in the day, but I was addicted to pot, smoked it for 12 years, and that was the hardest thing for me to give up. Now it's legal. Sorry. You're looking at me like, no. No, it's my decision. It's my decision. That's it.
With the Holy Spirit.
It's what we need. No. And we will. And we will. We will keep doing what we want to do if we don't have our personal relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. I go to ball games now, football games, and people are partying in a parking lot. And I'm walking, and then all of a sudden I smell weed, and it's like... like this. And because it to me, it was an addiction. I didn't find anything wrong with it, and I enjoyed it. And I knew it was not right to defile the temple of the Holy Spirit with that. So I finally got and found the strength to stop. And 34 years later, I'm still stopped. But now it's legal. So now they're like, hey, Dave, I'm going to keep people at work. Dave, weed's getting legal now. You can do it. And I'm like, well, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. I mean, you know, back before the Civil War, slavery was legal. Doesn't mean it's right, you know. And just because it's legal to do things, I mean, look what's happened since 1973, Roe versus Wade. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And we have to find the strength within us to be able to say no to ungodliness. And only Jesus can give that to us. He can give it to us and download it to us, but he also gives us each other. The church. A couple quick scriptures. Submit to your leaders, Hebrews 13:17, knowing that they labor for you in love. That's a hard thing, submit to leadership. He's given us the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4 to do what? To teach and to train the church to do the works of the ministry. To teach and to train. As brothers and sisters, Ephesians 5 tells us that we need to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Our favorite part here, submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. Woo! We get to submit to one another. How exciting is that? Well, when you learn how to do it right and everybody's submitting to one another, it's a glorious thing where everybody is considering others more important than themselves. Looking also to your interests, but not to your interests alone, also to the interests of others, and making them more important, exalting them, honoring them. Oh, here's a good word, honor. We talk about honor sometimes. Honoring one another. That's what we need to do. Honor leadership, honor one another, reverence the presence of God. That's why God has given us the church. He hasn't given the church to collect your tithe so that Pastor Tom can pay his car off. He's given us the church because we are his body. Did you ever see a head walking around all by itself? No, the head needs a heart. The head needs a body. The head needs nerves. It needs limbs. It needs fingers. It needs toes. It needs a liver. It needs a kidney. It needs the central nervous system. It needs the arteries, and it needs the blood, and it needs the bones. It needs every part of it. Do you ever ask yourself what part of the body you are in Christ? Some are his mouth. Some are his heart, right? Some are his elbow. I said this before Jen and I prayed, and we found out we're his big toe. We're God's big toe, Jennifer and I. Because the big toe brings balance and stability. That's what God said. That's what we do, us and our family, to his body, to his church. We also learn through the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Amen. We need the church, and we need one another. Let me see if I can get this to where I need it. Oops. So how do we cast these stones away and break these walls down? How do we do it? First step is acknowledging Jesus is the only way. It's the only way these walls can come down. It's the only way that stone can be rolled away from the tomb and the prison that you find yourself in, that I find myself in, because of unforgiveness, because of hatred, because of bitterness, because of broken promises and unmet expectations, living lives of hopelessness, wondering why we just keep going around in these same circles. Jesus is the only way. He is the only door that is available for us to leave our lives of hopelessness and faithlessness and come into a life of hoping and trusting in a God that is steadfast, that is loyal toward his covenant, which he ratified in his own blood. Acknowledging Jesus is the only way out of loneliness into a place where we belong, where we're a part of, where we're loved, where we can love. Amen. Acknowledging Jesus is the only way out of bitterness, finding the way to forgive others, taking us from hatred to love, from anger and rage to a place of peace, from cursing and revenge to encouragement and being a blessing. He's the only one that can take us out of our place of arrogance, our place of pride, and bring us into a place where we're with, in true humility, we can acknowledge and honor God for who he is. Jesus is the only way to take us out of our rebellious spirit and bring us into an abyss of sweet surrender, resting from our cares, our fears, and our anxieties, fully trusting in our dad, our heavenly Father, knowing he's taking full responsibility over us, and he's hidden us with Christ. He's hidden us with Christ in the heavenlies. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And thank you that you're calling us out of these tombs. You're calling us out of these prisons. You don't want us to live in loneliness. You don't want us to live in bitterness. You don't want us to live in pride. Lord, you don't want us to live in these areas that we can't seem to find ways out of. But Lord, we know that you've given us life and life abundantly. And not only have you done that, but you've given us the ability and the grace and all that we need pertaining to God and us to say no to those things that keep us entrapped. So Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive us in Jesus' name for allowing ourselves to live lives of disobedience and rebellion, trying to do it our own way. Lord, in Jesus' name, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. As Sister Mary said, make our relationship with you, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, intimate, knowing you in ways and receiving revelations of your love and downloads of who you are, Father, that will transform us. We need to be transformed. We cannot do this on our own. You are the only way. We thank you that you've provided the way. We thank you for providing your body. Also, our brothers and our sisters, that as we rub shoulders together and irritate one another, you are training us to become like you, one who forgives, one who is long-suffering, one who constantly esteems and blesses, one who encourages and picks up and dusts off and continues to encourage to move on, that we, your church, would be that for one another. Being trained in the brotherhood of practicing your characteristics, Lord, towards one another. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, put feet, Lord, and the ability to be able to apply the thought of breaking these walls down. Give us, may it just not be a thought process, but may it be a way that we can learn to walk, Father, that you would truly impart your grace and your strength into our lives, that we can apply this truth of making you the Lord of our lives, acknowledging you are the only way, thanking you for the work that you've done supernaturally, and thanking you in all circumstances in life, thanking you for the church that we have and being a blessing to the church that we have, an encouragement to the church that we have, serving one another, because that's how we show our love to you and how we serve one another. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in your word there's power. We thank you, Lord, that in your word there's life. We thank you that as we walk in you, you give us the grace, the ability, and the strength to say no to godliness and to say yes to you. So I release that in the name of Jesus, by the power that is in your name. I release it to each and every heart that is here, that is a member of this church, those that aren't here. I even speak it into their hearts, into their lives, that you would release your power, your enabling power, your strength and your grace to enable us, Lord, to live lives of godliness. You've given us all that we need pertaining to godliness. May we find a way to tap into that, that we would walk in your power, walk in your strength, walk in your love. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance towards you, and may he grant you his peace in Jesus' name. The internet went out, otherwise we would still have my beautiful music playing. But tis what it is. Have a great day, everyone, and join us over on the other side for some fellowship. God bless you.